Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope everybody is doing good this morning. I will get us started this morning. I am going to continue. How many of you been here the last couple of weeks? Let me see. Anybody? Brantley's, you've been with me. Anybody? I see John there. We've kind of talked about unity. If you've noticed that, that's come up quite a bit. Wasn't necessarily planned that way. We've just been in the book of Ephesians and talking about the theme of unity and using our gifts to build up the body of Christ. So none of that should sound new to you if you've been with us. Watch out, Superman. Look at that. Look at those muscles this morning. That's so awesome. All right. And so we've been talking about building up the body, using our gifts to do that. And not walking as the lost do. If you remember last week, the futility of their minds, it said. In other words, following themselves or the crowd. We learned that Christ, He is the guide. He is the one that we are able to follow. None of that should sound new, but just to remind you where we left off. Where we officially left off last week, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. Anybody remember that? All right, good stuff. So I want to read this morning from Scripture where we're at, Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 25, we'll go through verse 32. So if you've got your Bible, you want to read along, your phone, listen to me. If you're online watching, you can join us in Scripture there, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We just pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. We pray that you speak louder than any other voice has room or reason to in our hearts or lives this morning. We pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Scripture this morning starts with a word. We've talked about this several times. It starts with the word, therefore. Anytime the word therefore is there, we like to look and see what it's there for, right? Very simple, very cheesy. But it works. When you come across that word in Scripture, you want to kind of take into context. And so what it's talking about is what Paul's just come out of. So you've got to remember, when Paul writes this letter, he did not write it, I'm going to now write Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. This is a free-flowing letter that he's written to the church of Ephesus and then to be passed on to the church, the body, right? Us. We're the beneficiaries of that as well. So he's talking about what he's just spoke of. So again, remembering unity, building up the body, using all these gifts to do those things, to put off the old self, put on the new self. And he's saying, therefore, because of these things, because of you not walking in the futility of your own mind anymore, therefore, and now he's about to go into a new statement, continuing on the thought. So he says, because of these things, therefore, you having put away falsehood. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of falsehood going on, right? Here is truth. This is God's word. And I believe that he continues to speak. His Holy Spirit that is inside of us, should we believe in Christ, he continues to speak truth over our lives, right? Everybody that's a believer here has experienced that, where God speaks truth, and he's never going to contradict his word, but he will give you instructions on things that are modern day, things that are applicable to your life. And so, therefore, taking off the old way, putting on the new, and then he's continuing on, put away falsehood and speak the truth with your neighbor. Now listen to this. Everybody, this, I know several of you probably are like me and can say, man, I need to hear this. There is a good way to speak truth and a bad way to speak truth. Amen? You could walk up to me this morning and truthfully say, Keith, you're ugly. And you dress funny. And you kind of stink. Not very nice, right? Not very encouraging. Not building up. The proper way to do that would be, Keith, have you maybe thought about taking a bath this week or, you know, something? Go about it a little bit with tact and a little bit of niceness, right? Speaking the truth is good, but you've got to speak the truth in love for it to be really the truth. All truth is accompanied with grace and love. And listen to why he says, he gives us this reason. It's continuing the theme again. Unity, building up the body. He says this, speak the truth with your neighbor, for we are members of one another. Amen. Give me five. You missed. Hey, you gonna leave me hanging, Superman? You missed. Don't just give it out there and then walk away. I've told him, man, I love him muscles. So speaking the truth in love, and we do that because we are members of one another. Do you guys realize that? I want to tell you something that sounds really silly, but I believe it applies. I believe it's the truth. We are the body of Christ. If you believe you are a member of a precious body of Christ, do you know that when we fight with one another, when we fight, listen to me this morning, everybody pay attention, way back in the back too. When we fight with one another, it's as silly as standing in front of the mirror and fighting with yourself because we are members of one another. Christ is the head, and we are members of the same body. Wouldn't that be silly to just, I don't know why, but God's given me this vision. I'm thinking of the great theologian this morning, Jim Carrey, from the movie Liar, Liar. You remember when he goes in the bathroom and he beats himself up trying to get out of something? That's how silly we look to fight with one another. Let that visual stick in your mind this morning. But then he continues on. Listen to what he says. So we speak the truth with our neighbor in love because we are members of one another, remembering that we are flesh and blood of the same body together. But listen to what? Some of us have this down. He says two words. If you were just to stop there, it might sound a little odd to find this in Scripture. He says, be angry. Man, there's a lot of angry people right now, right? Anybody want to call anybody? No, don't call nobody's name on that. But we see, be angry. He doesn't stop there, he says, though. He says, be angry and do not sin. Be angry, but do not sin. Here's what I believe Scripture is teaching us. It is giving us a license to be angry, but to be angry about the right things in the right way. It's okay to be angry sometimes, and then sometimes being angry or having anger in our heart is sinful. I want to give you two examples. I am a child of the 80s and the 90s. Anybody remember those? Some of you still got the neon from the 80s probably, big hair. I'd like to see those pictures if you do. But there was a commercial on TV, Time Life Books. Anybody remember those? My parents still have a set of Western books. Does anybody remember those? Cowboys and Indians. They were brown. I can still see the Western like murals on the front, like the paintings and everything. Awesome books. It told stories of Billy the Kid and Wyatt Earp and the Native American culture, all of these things that were back during the Wild West. I never will forget this. I don't know if you remember this commercial, but this is anger in the wrong way. I never will forget. I thought this was so funny as a kid, and it's really kind of horrible. But they were given this commercial for these books, and it says so-and-so, and I can't remember the guy's name, who once shot a man for snoring too loud. Does anybody remember that commercial at all? I just thought it was crazy, man. You shot a man because he was snoring in a saloon. He was snoring too loud, and he just shot him. Jimmy said he's a piano player. I don't know. Fact check him on that. I don't know. Google that stuff. That don't sound right, but maybe he was. but he was snoring too loud, and he shot him. Can I tell you, some of you are walking around out here like you're in that commercial. Y'all get mad over the silliest stuff. I love you, but I'm telling you the truth in love right now. Some of you get so twisted up and so mad with one another about the silliest stuff. That guy got a bag of Doritos, and there was 32 Doritos in his, and I counted mine. There was 31 and a half, and the half was crumpled up. I want that bag. Something that silly. If you're with me, say amen. If you've seen it, all right? And that's sinful. It's a wrong anger to be so mad over the... Listen, I love our great country. I love the freedoms that we have, but politics... It's so silly to be so angry with somebody that you're ready to come to blows over that. Doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. Sports. Do you realize that in our great state, we've got some great sports teams, right? Our college football teams. We take that serious. But do you realize not long ago that there was a shooting? Someone actually shot someone and killed them over a football game? Sinful anger, right? It doesn't make sense. But then I want to give you an example of something that is right, that is a right way to be angry, a pure way to be angry. But you see, you can always tell when it's a wrongful way, it gets personal. It gets into name calling. It goes into just this a loud snoring incident, if you will. Someone getting angry over just the silliest of things. There's nothing righteous about that. But here's how I know you can be angry and not sin. Anybody ever remember the story of Jesus cleansing the temple, right? He was very angry, but he was angry over something that was very righteous and very near the heart of God. It was something that angered God, and so therefore it angered Jesus. And we know that it was not sinful because the scripture tells us over and over and over that Jesus was without blemish, without sin. But yet, if you go back and you read the story, he goes in the temple. I'm not going to read it. You know the story. He goes in and the money changers are there and they're making money off of ministry. And they're turning God's temple, his house, into things that it never was intended for. Men were getting in and ruining the system that was in place for people to meet and have relationship with God. And Jesus sees this, and guys, it says that he took a table. By the way, I'm just going to throw this out. Not a lifetime plastic bought at Sam's table. This is old wood tables. I'm imagining really heavy tables. Jesus was a man's man. He was a carpenter before there was ever such a thing as power tools, right? And it says that Jesus came in and he sees this, and unless you subscribe to the theory that Jesus was like Indiana Jones and he carried a whip, I don't think he did. It means that he actually took time to either go find one or fashion one. I believe scripture says even to the lens to that point that he takes his whip and he goes in and he's running in the temple and he's like whipping this whip and turning over tables and money's flying everywhere, animals running out, all of this stuff. And he's angry because of what people have done in the name of ministry. You see the difference between righteous anger, that Jesus found this as a spiritual attack. It is okay to be angry at injustice. When you see a certain people group or you see someone and an injustice taking place, that is a righteous anger. Now, how you channel that and what you do with it determines if it's righteous or not, right? You get what I'm seeing? The sample between the two? That you can be angry and not sin. Do we have any married couples out here this morning? Any dating couples? I'm going to give you free advice this morning. It's straight from Scripture. You with me? Not just for you. It's good for anybody. But listen to what he continues to say. He says, be angry and do not sin. And here's what he says. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Married couples, the best advice I can give you. Do not go to bed angry with one another. Now listen. Guys, I'm going to tell you a real easy way to fix this. You say, honey, you're right. You're so right, right? Anybody agree with me on that? That's what I'm talking about, right? That's good advice. Listen, I hate to spoil the secret, even if she's not right. Just go ahead and say it. Try it. It'll work out pretty well for you. But do not go to bed. I think this is for friendship too. Do not go to bed. Do not let the sun go down on the anger. Here's twofold. If you let it continue to build, it will build bitterness, hatred, just more anger on top of anger on top of anger. But two, newsflash, we are not promised another day. Man, you do not want to go to bed and it be your last day and leave that significant other with a fight being your last memory. Jamie and I have taken this very literal. We'll be in a knock. I know you. It's hard to believe. We've been in a knockdown drag out before, and we go to bed and we still say, look, let's put a pin in this. We love each other. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Like, it's okay, right? Don't go to bed angry. Just don't. Take care of it. Make that call. Some of you have folks that you need to ask forgiveness for right now. Some of you need to go and offer forgiveness to a person. Ask for it. So we take that very literally. So do not let the sun go down on your anger. And here's why. Give no opportunity to the devil. The devil can take that anger, that bitterness, that hatred, and he can run wild with it. He continues on. He says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor. This is talking about us as individuals. Let us work, doing honest work with our own hands. But here's the reason why. So that they may have something to share with anyone in need. Again, talking about unity in the body. Isn't that beautiful? To work hard with our hands so that we have something to offer and share with others. I know verse 29 will not convict anyone like it does me. But let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Anybody want to give a oof there? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. But only such as it is good for building up as it fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. To build others up. I'm going to tell you, he's so good at talking about building others up. That's what this is about, this unity, that he is so about this within the body of Jesus Christ, to build one another up, to have unity. Then listen to what he says here. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. If you were a believer here this morning, you are sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he says these words, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. Here's one way you can do that. Follow his lead. Follow the Holy Spirit's lead. You have the Holy Spirit of God leading inside of you. He would not choose us to have this unrighteous anger. He would not choose us to go and belittle someone, that we would have this talk in our minds that would build others up. That's what the Holy Spirit is about. That's one way that we grieve him, is to him lead us, and then we follow our own selves or our own minds, as he talked about the futility of our own minds. When we're angry, we're tearing others down and not building up. It grieves. I've seen some people dressed up this morning. I want to ask you this question. Any Disney fans out here this morning? It's okay. You can say yes. Any Disney fans? What about Frozen in particular? Anybody remember Frozen? If you like Frozen, this is your verse. It's all about let it go. Jimmy, where's Jimmy at? I sang that to Jimmy one day. I said, let it go. That's as much as you're going to hear me sing. Let it go. Sometimes we just get fixated on things. Anybody with me on that? We just constantly think about it. We can't let it go. We can't let the bitterness, the anger, and it builds and it festers. There is beauty in letting it go. That, by the way, you don't have to prove yourself right to somebody. You can lay down that right, serve them, love them, agree to disagree, and move on. Some of us need to hear that this morning. We've lost the ability to agree to disagree. And it is a beautiful practice. Agree on what we agree on and move on and quit fighting about the rest. I'm going to say that again for the people in the back. Quit fighting on what we disagree on. Let's unite on what we do agree on. Amen? Anybody with that? That would build others up instead of tearing down. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. It's kind of that taking off the old self and putting on the new, right? If you've listened to nothing I've said this morning, I want you to hear this. I'm going to close with one verse that Paul closes with. And if there is a marching order moving forward for the church at Southside and the body of Christ, I think this is it. I want you just to take away all preconceived notions and think about what if just in this parking lot alone, that this was our mantra, this was our marching orders, and this is what we took from here out into the city wherever we went. Listen to the words of Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, just as true today, maybe more so than even when he penned it. Be kind to one another. I want to stop right there. I want to let that marinate. I love to cook. Man, there's something good about a good marinade, right? Stuart, you're with me, right? Man, a marinade can either take something to another level or it can ruin it too. Or give you some good Southern English this morning, rurt. Anybody ever say rurt? I want you to let this marinate. Listen to it one more time. Everybody look this way. Be kind to one another. Man, kindness goes a long way. Man, it goes a long way. Just be kind. Just be kind. By the way, just another little secret. I'm full of secrets this morning. You really want to agitate somebody that doesn't like you very much, just be kind to them. Boy, it kind of agitates them, doesn't it? It might be a little sarcastic for me to feel that way, but just be kind. Just smile. Don't fight back. Don't give them what they want. Just smile. Be kind. Listen to what he continues to say. Be kind with one another, tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Man, what our world would look like if we were just kind to one another and tenderhearted. We just stopped there. Forgiving one another. Just forgiving. And you know what? He doesn't just stop here. Listen to what he says. This is always the kicker. A lot of times when you hear about us as people forgiving one another, the writer of Scripture doesn't just stop with forgive one another. Listen to how he says this. This is Lord's Prayer type stuff. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What did Jesus forgive you of? Absolutely every single thing you've done, are doing, or will do. There is no boundaries to his forgiveness. And I, as a follower of Christ, am called to be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, and forgiving other people as God in Christ forgave me. That means 70 times 7, and then on, and so on it goes. Forgiving others. Now, forgiving someone does not mean that you have to be buddy-buddy with them. You may say, man, it's gone too far. They've lost access to my heart. They beat me up too much. I can't be close to... I get all that, and that's fine, but you can forgive. You don't have to even forget, but you can treat that person kind with a tender heart and love them, right? You can. And he calls you to do that in such a way, I want you to do that, church. I want you to do that, church at Southside. I want you to do that, body of Jesus Christ, just as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I want to ask you this one question before I close in prayer. Just with what you've seen out here, this is a beautiful thing that we have going on. It really is. I know we have our little squabble sometime. I know there's disputes or disagreements over Doritos or whatever it could be about. And some more serious than that, I get it. But what if we forgave one another, we loved one another, we were tenderhearted, and we not only forgave, but forgave as God in Christ has forgiven us. I'm going to tell you, it could go a long way. It could go a long way to sparking revival in the city of Birmingham, in Jefferson County, in the state of Alabama, in the United States, and even into the world. It could start right here. How would it start? Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Even, you know, he doesn't say with all the people that think and act and look and smell and whatever like you. He says to one another. I want everybody to do me a favor this morning. I want you to raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you do anything. If you have raised your hand, and even those that haven't, you are a one another. No matter what background, no matter what walk of life, you are a one another. And you are worthy to be kind to be loved, and to be forgiven. And you are called to give that same love to the other one another's that are gathered here, the ones you encounter down the street that don't look, act, talk, live the same lifestyle that you do. It's about love. Jesus, in a couple of times in scriptures, I'll say this and I'll be done. Two things he gives the lost world, descriptors. If you want to know who my people are, two things. Look how they love one another. He says, by this you will know they are my disciples, by how they love one another. And then two, he says this, Lord, make them one. This is what he prays for you and me. He says, make them one, just like you and I are one, Father. And if they do that, if they are one, it says the world will know that you have sent me. That's two things he gives the lost world. You want to know who mine? How they love in one another, and are they one? Even in their differences, are they one? Let's come together. Any Beatles fans? Let's come together. And let's love one another. Forgiveness. Maybe somebody here in this parking lot today, I'm just throwing this out, that you need to walk up to and say, I need to ask your forgiveness, or I need to forgive you, or vice versa. However God leads you in that, okay? Let me pray for us. Father, we need you. This is not natural. I've said this the last few weeks that we've gathered together. This is not natural to go up to someone that has hurt you and say, without them asking, I forgive you. In fact, some may be even surprised if we do that. They say, man, I'm sorry. I didn't know I offended you. I didn't know I did anything. That's not natural. But praise be to God, it is supernatural. If we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we have encountered Jesus in a real way. Not religious Jesus, not checking all the boxes of behaving and church attending and all that religious nonsense. But a true encounter from the living God through the man, Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven. We've made to walk in newness of life. Then we have your Spirit living inside of us. It is no longer us that live, but you that lives in us. We've taken off the old self, put on the new. If that is what is in us, great news. It is not natural, but it is supernatural. Jesus, you can do it through us. Let us be kind to one another. Let us be tenderhearted. Let us forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. If we do that, it can truly be revolutionary and world-changing stuff. Start with us. Start with me. Help me to follow more in line with what you want, Jesus. Let us love and let us be one, even through the disagreements. We come together in what we do agree on, and that is Jesus changes everything. Jesus, we need you. If you need to meet him for the first time today, man, what a beautiful, sunny, perfect day to do so. If you already know him, let us walk in love. Let us walk in forgiveness. Let us do it tenderheartedly in truth and love. Jesus, we love you and we need you. We pray it in your sweet and precious name. Amen.